Thank you for stopping by Living Waters World Online, the place where the river of God flows. Pastors Lawrence and Kimberly Richardson invite you on a journey to change the church, challenge the colleges, and charge into the community. Following messages from the series, The Four Dimensions of Prayer.
You have 1 Samuel, say, I have the word. Elder Nicole, you're reading today? Let's read 1 Samuel chapter 1 through 19.
Now there was a certain man of Ramathaim, Zophim, of the mountains of Ephraim, and his name was Elkanah, the son of Jeroham, the son of Elihu, the son of Tohu, the son of Zoph, and an Ephraimite.
So glad you're English major.
Mm-hmm. And he had 2 wives. The name of one was Hannah, and the name of the other was Peninnah. Peninnah had children, but Hannah had no children. This man went up from his city yearly to worship and sacrifice to the Lord of hosts in Shiloh. Also the 2 sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, the priests of the Lord, were there. Okay. And whenever the time came for Elkanah to make an offering, he would give portions of to Peninnah, his wife, and to all her sons and daughters. But to Hannah, he would give a double portion, for he loved Hannah, although the Lord had closed her womb. And her rival also provoked her severely to make her miserable, because the Lord had closed her womb. So it was, year by year, when she went up to the house of the Lord, that she provoked her. Therefore she wept and did not eat. Then Elkanah, her husband, said to her, Hannah, why do you weep? Why do you not eat? And why is your heart grieved? Am I not better to you than 10 sons? So Hannah arose after they had finished eating and drinking in Shiloh. Now Eli, the priest, was sitting on the seat by the doorpost of the tabernacle of the Lord. And she was in bitterness of soul and prayed to the Lord and wept in anguish. Then she made a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if you will indeed look on the affliction of your maidservant and remember me and not forget your maidservant, but will give your maidservant a male child, then I will give him to the Lord all the days of his life, and no razor shall come upon his head. And it happened, as she continued praying before the Lord, that Eli watched her mouth. Now Hannah spoke in her heart. Only her lips moved, but her voice was not heard. Therefore Eli thought she was drunk. So Eli said to her, How long will you be drunk? Put your wine away from you. But Hannah answered and said, No, my Lord, I am a woman of sorrowful spirit. I have drunk neither wine nor intoxicating drink, but have poured out my soul before the Lord. Do not consider your maidservant a wicked woman, for out of the abundance of my complaint and grief I have spoken until now. Then Eli answered and said, Go in peace, and the God of Israel grant your petition which you have asked of him. And she said, Let your maidservant find favor in your sight. So the woman went her way and ate, and her face was no longer sad. Then they rose early in the morning and worshiped before the Lord and returned and came to their house at Ramah. And Elkanah knew Hannah, his wife, and the Lord remembered her.
Wow. That text is loaded. And it came to pass as she continued praying before the Lord that Eli marked her mouth. So Hannah, she spake in her heart, only her lips moved, but her voice was not heard. Therefore Eli thought that she had been drunken. And Eli said unto her, How long wilt thou be drunken? Put away thy new wine from thee. And Hannah answered and said, No, my Lord, I am a woman of a sorrowful spirit. I have drunken neither wine nor strong drink, but have poured out my soul before the Lord. Count not thy handmaid as a daughter of Belial, for out of the abundance of my complaint and my grief have I spoken hitherto. Then Eli answered and said, Go in peace, and the God of Israel grant thee the petition that thou hast asked of him. And she said, Let thy handmaid find grace in thy sight. So the woman went her way, and she did eat, and her countenance was no more sad. Text is loaded. Psalms 27, 1 Samuel is the example. Psalms 27 is the exhortation. Psalms 27 in verse number 1 through 7, it says, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked, even my enemies and my foes, came upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and they fell. Though an host should camp against me, my heart shall not fear. The war shall rise against me. In this will I be confident. One thing have I desired of the Lord, and that will I seek after. One thing have I desired of the Lord, and that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. For in the time of trouble he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me. He shall set me upon a rock, and now my head shall be lifted above my enemies round about me. Therefore I will offer in the tabernacle sacrifices of joy. I will sing, yea, I will sing praises unto the Lord. Hear, O Lord, and I cry with my voice. Have mercy upon me and answer me. Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice, and have mercy also upon me and answer me." That is the exhortation. James picks it up in chapter number 1, and he gives us now the wisdom, the example, the exhortation, and now the wisdom. James chapter number 1, verse 5 through 8, it says, "If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God. They give it to all men liberally." Gender neutral. That term men there is not talking about only men. It's a gender neutral term. "If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God. They give it to all men," or it could be people. The transliteration could be people. "Liberally and unbraided not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, not wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of sea driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways." This is the wisdom. James chapter 4, and then I'll talk just a few moments and I'll be done. James chapter 4, when you have the word, say, "I have the word." Need a moment, say, "Wait a minute. I'm a lot of scriptures, Baptist. Why, Pastor, why you got so many scriptures this morning?" James chapter 4. "Ye lust," and verse number 2 and 3. "You lust and you have not. You kill and you desire to have and cannot obtain. You fight and you war, yet you have not because you ask not. Ye ask and receive not, because you ask amiss." You ask hitting and missing. Today, this is what you really want the Lord to do. But by tomorrow afternoon, this is what you want the Lord to do. You don't have that one desire that you are locked into. So you're not receiving anything in any of your asking. I'm going to tell your neighbor, say, "Neighbor, when you ask, you need to hit the target." "You lust and you have not. You kill and you desire to have and you cannot obtain. Ye fight and you war, yet you have not because you ask not. You ask and you receive not because you ask amiss, that you may consume it upon your own lust." For a few moments this morning, and I pray I can help somebody, I want to talk from the subject, determining our deepest desires. Determining our deepest desires. Father, thank you for the word that you sowed in my heart this morning. Thank you for teaching us to examine our wants, our desires, our expectations. Thank you for bringing us to a new place in prayer, that we're not hitting and missing. Last week, God, we discovered very clearly that there are places that we must say, not our will, but your will be done. So we are asking God, but if you have a desire that we've not embraced, this day we embrace what you desire for us. You said, delight ourselves in you, and you'll give us the desires of our heart. That means you will literally place in us what we should really want. So this day, God, reshape us, remold us, transform us, renew our minds that we can serve God with the law of our mind, that we can have the actual mind of Christ, and that you'll do a thing in our hearts, Lord. Show us this day what is the deepest desires of our heart. Let me articulate a way that is understandable, even to the children, Lord. Even to the novice, Lord. Even to the babe. We're on a journey somewhere in this discipleship, Lord, that we want to come to maturity, Lord. And sometimes we just need a plain talking, Lord. So through the example of 1 Samuel, through the exhortation of Psalms 27, and through the wisdom of James, let us come to the point that David came to in the 27th Psalm, that we can declare, one thing have we desired, and that will we seek after. Speak to us clearly today, God. Remove confusion in the name of the Lord Jesus. Remove cloudiness, Lord. Remove this abstract life that we're living, Lord. And do what, oh God, Jesus taught us, that we would become single-minded, knowing what the will of the Lord is, that good, acceptable, perfect will of the Lord, that we can prove it on earth, even as it is in heaven. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for healing. Thank you for saving. Thank you for delivering. Thank you for healing. Thank you for saving. Thank you for delivering. And you sent your word, and it healed us, Lord. Speak where we are today. And when you finish, God, we've already sat down. We thank you. We glorify your name. This is our prayer today. And all God's people said, amen. And amen. Determining our deepest desires. Somebody say that with me. Determining our deepest desires. Ministers, you guys can be released. Hold and stay right there just a moment, all right? Just get me through this little place. Determining our deepest desires. Come on, do me a favor. Ask your neighbor, say, neighbor, what do you deeply desire? Come on, do me a favor. Ask your neighbor again. Say, neighbor, what do you deeply desire? What do you deeply desire? And I pray that you don't answer that too quickly, because generally we don't answer that honestly, because the fear of, if I really say I want that, what's going to happen next? Most of the time, what we deeply desire, we rarely articulate. I wish y'all come close today, and I hope y'all listen today. All right. Mostly, what we deeply desire, we do not articulate it. Because fear, because if I ask God, y'all listen, if I ask God for that, is he able to do it? And here it is, will he do it for me? Ask your neighbor, say, neighbor, are you listening? Neighbor, are you listening? We've moved into the dimension that we're now living surrendered lives, so we should understand that the heavens above us are open. Stay with me, all right? I'm not talking to people that's going to make a Santa Claus list. I'm not talking to people that just going to ask for stuff that they could win off the Price is Right and hit the sugar. No, no, that's not the kind of people I'm talking to. I'm talking to a people that are surrendered and studying the word of God, want to please God. When you move to that place, there's a whole nother realm that opens, that God now starts asking, what is your deepest desire? What is your deepest desires? Last week, we discovered probably one of the most important things of what I said last week, not what y'all talked about in the lobby, but one of the most important things that I said last week that I hope y'all didn't miss All right. Is in praying, we acknowledge our desires while remaining ready to submit to that which may be different from what we desire. Did y'all catch that? All right. When we're praying, I'm talking about people that are now living the surrendered life. We are open to asking because we've submitted that if this is not what he desire, I will acquiesce. I will declare not my will, but thy will be done. Somebody tell your name, already there. I'm already there. We understand the truth that what he desires might be different from what we desire. But when we get what he desires, provisions, protections, and wisdom are in him granting what he desired for us. Come on, do me a favor, tell your neighbor, say, neighbor, if you submit to not your will, but his will be done, what you get is going to be way more than enough. I don't know why. Sometimes we think that if we don't get what we want and we get what God desires for us, there's going to be lack in what he desires. And most of us told the truth. I'm so glad. Most of us, if we told the truth, we would say, I'm so glad he didn't give me what I wanted, but he gave me what he desired for me. I'm talking about if we told the truth, whether it was a car, whether it was a mate, okay, I could go down that road, right? Or any other matter, a major in school, when we finally surrendered, we done made the third choice. This ain't the major I really wanted, but somehow this is what God wants. The third choice blew your mind when you got into your career. Understanding that when we submit to what he desires, everything we need in the desire, provisions, protection, and wisdom, we're going to get it all when we submit to that. So we are there. We saw that in St. Luke chapter number 22. So much so that when Christ surrendered, here comes an angel ministering to strengthen him. Prayers, petition from the posture of surrender are prayers which become effectual, fervent prayers of the righteous. Prayers, petition from the posture of surrender are the prayers which become the effectual prayers of the righteous, which availeth much. We often hear that the effectual, fervent prayers of the righteous availeth much. Well, those prayers are prayed from a posture of surrender. Those are not prayers that are prayed just hoping that he'll do 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11 in this season. Prayers, petition from the posture of surrender are prayers which become the effectual, fervent prayers of the righteous, which avail much. We must now learn how to narrow down our prayer list to begin believing to see the one desire met and answered, that our remaining prayers may become powerful. Stay with me. I'm going to get to your list. But one of the things that the Holy Spirit have continually said to me as I'm developing this series about prayer is our litany list is too long. Some of our list is so long, we don't get to 12, 11, 13. We only pray about that. Okay, y'all ain't saying nothing. Some of us, the prayer list that we have, item number 12, 13, and 14, we don't spend no time in praying about. Now, it's on a list, but we don't pray about it. Y'all ain't saying nothing now. And I know the war room introduced us to making a room and putting stickers up and having 55 things written on the wall. But you ain't praying about the 54th and the 55th thing. How in the world you think God gonna do it? Tell your name in this season. You got to trim it down a little bit. In this season, we must learn how to narrow our prayer list down to the one met desired. That if God would answer this, I will become persistent in prayer for the rest of it. Are y'all catching what I'm saying? When you got 10 things on the list and you're haphazardly praying for them and you're not praying earnestly as you ought and you're not getting the answers that you ought, sometimes you got to trim that list down. And you got to get it down to 3, and more than likely you got to get it down to 1 thing that God, in this season, this is what I'm going to this is what I'm going to truthfully labor and pray about. I need to go to where, amen, and this probably going to hurt some of y'all feeling. It's not impressive that you got 12 things on the list that you say you're praying for. Ain't nobody impressed by that. What's impressive is what you spending time praying for. Okay, did y'all understand what I just said? Man, look at these 12 things I'm praying for. I'm praying for my daddy's salvation. I'm praying for Uncle Charlie's salvation. I'm praying for Aunt Bessie. And I'm praying for the sickness over Ethiopia. And I'm praying that God would give us a cure for it. You say you got this impressive list and you don't spend 5 minutes on any of them. And then you wonder why God does not do it. We're doing what James said. We're asking amiss. And God's trying to get us to narrow the list down, that we find out what is that thing that we really desired him to do, that if he does that, I will become persistent about asking some other stuff. Somebody said to me, if God does that, I will become persistent about asking about some other stuff. How do we determine what is our deepest desire? And I've been asking this in the spirit all week long, and over the last 2 weeks when I knew I was going to come to this point, how do we determine what really is our deepest desire? And interesting, the Holy Spirit began to lead me to the first book of Samuel. First Samuel is a time of transition. They're moving from judges and they're moving to kings. They're trying to find how to be a faithful kingdom of God's king's people, or God's kind of people. Prayer becomes extremely important when God is moving us from into. How do I determine what is the deepest of my desires? One of the things that I must discover is in this timing of the Lord, it is for me to know what that deep desire is. Can I help you real good this morning? What we think our deep desire at 17, 18, 19, we'll throw it in the trash can when we get 50, 51, 52, and 55. Because truth of the matter is, when we really, really, really young, we haven't even moved into the timing of knowing what our deep desires are. Come on, do me a favor. Tell somebody you got to keep living just a little bit longer. So the first thing is, in words in the book of 1 Samuel, it has to be the timing that God really wants to show us what's deep down inside of us and what we really, really, really want. And he has to take us through some processes. He's got to take us through some understanding. He got to show us you need to let go of that before he really show us this is the real deep desire. Because at 17, 18, 19, you think you want a boyfriend and a significant other. That's not really what you want. You ain't going to believe me saying that. What you really want is just to be loved. I'm going to say that again because I got some millennials in here and I hope y'all listening so you don't go through 6 girlfriends and you don't go through 7 boyfriends and you don't go from Paul to Peter. Y'all ain't saying nothing and you don't keep swapping these folks out wondering when I'm going to find somebody to love me. Well, fall in love with Jesus, because can't nobody love you like Jesus. Come on, if you sit next to a millennial, say, Pastor's talking to you now. Pastor's talking to you. But if you're not careful, what you're going to do in this stage of your life, Malachi, what you're not careful, and what you're going to do this stage, Chris, what you're not careful, Kendra, what you're going to do, you're going to keep trying to find somebody, and they're going to keep showing you, I really don't want you, I just want what you got. And then you're going to get out of it talking about, I just wanted to be loved. Cindy, you better be listening because I'm around your arm. I just wanted to be loved. That was the deep desire. And y'all don't want me to go there because I can come a little bit older and tell you, you don't want to go through 4 or 5 marriages before you find out that I really don't want a baller. Y'all ain't saying that. I really don't want somebody so cute and fine and look like a Coke bottle. What I want somebody is to love me. That's the deep desire. I've been rejected so long that I'm looking for somebody just to love me for me. I'm coming down your row. So they was in transition and they was trying to find out. And you'd be amazed how this subject matter was the subject matter of what they needed in the kingdom. And we think it's about Hannah, and we think it's about Peniah, and we think it's about Elkanah, and this is about the kingdom. Somebody say, this is about the kingdom. When you're in transition, moving from into, you have to be very wise in making sure that you're praying, amen, not my will, your will be done, as it is in heaven, let it be on earth. This is why I went to the book of 1 Samuel, because in 1 Samuel, God shows us how he works behind the scenes to bring our prayer request into manifestation.
We hope you've enjoyed this message from Living Waters World Online. If you were blessed by this message, or know someone who will be blessed by this message, please click the link below for more information on how to receive the full-length copy. We hope you are encouraged, and please remember, this is the place where the river of God flows.